Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Pro-government fighters in Yemen report they have killed a senior al-Qaeda leader, along with at least two other militants. Abu Anwar was head of a court set up by al-Qaeda in Yemen's largest province, which the extremist group largely controls. Al-Qaeda's Yemen branch is considered by Washington to be the most dangerous offshoot of the terror network. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab has released a new recruiting video that highlights U.S. police shootings and the call by U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump to ban Muslims from entering the United States. An unidentified Al-Shabaab spokesman speaking in English asserts on the video that Muslims in the U.S. must choose between leaving the country or taking up the cause of holy war. Al-Shabaab has been fighting to install a strict Islamic state in Somalia since 2006. An explosion struck the Afghan capital Kabul on Friday evening, killing one person, wounding 11 others. The Taliban quickly claimed responsibility and said one of its suicide bombers had carried out the attack. The blast hit a central residential area of the city, which is home to many Afghan officials and where guest houses are also located. The target of that attack not immediately clear. Also in news, police in India say a small group of gunmen attacked an Air Force base in Punjab State near the border with Pakistan early today. Officials saying two of the attackers are believed killed during that shootout with soldiers at the base. They say gunfire is ongoing, but few other details are available right now. Indian officials say they are still trying to identify the attackers. This is VOA News. Indian capital New Delhi has launched an ambitious initiative to curb the city's deadly levels of air pollution by restricting the number of private cars on the road. Anjana Pasrita reporting now from New Delhi.
The new year began on an unusual note in the Indian capital. In a city where roads are usually choked with cars, many citizens used public transport, auto rickshaws and cabs, arranged carpools or simply stayed at home. It was the first day of an experimental 15-day plan by city authorities to slash by half the number of private cars on the road by allowing those with odd and even numbered license plates on all alternate days. The aim, to clean up the city's toxic air, which the World Health Organization says is the world's dirtiest. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
During his New Year's address to the nation, President Obama looked back at the accomplishments of the past year and mentioned some unfinished business, such as gun violence legislation. He asked if Congress was to do something, anything, to protect our kids from gun violence. Mr. Obama talked about his frustration with the unfinished business to control the country's epidemic of gun violence.
3 years ago, a bipartisan common sense bill would have required background checks for virtually everyone who buys a gun. Keep in mind, this is a policy that is supported by some 90% of the American people. It was supported by a majority of NRA households. But the gun lobby mobilized against it, and the Senate blocked it.
President Obama said he receives letters from parents, teachers, and children, responsible gun owners as well, who believe, as he does, that the Second Amendment to the Constitution does guarantee the right to bear arms, but they also share the belief to protect right while keeping an irresponsible, dangerous few from inflicting harm on a massive scale. Grammy Award-winning singer Natalie Cole, the daughter of jazz legend Nat King Cole, is dead at the age of 65. Family statement said Cole died Thursday of ongoing health issues. She began her career as an R&B singer and had hits that included the Grammy Award-winning song This Will Be.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Cole's career reached superstar status when she recorded the 1991 album Unforgettable with Love, which paid tribute to her father, who died in 1965. Civil rights leader Jesse Jackson was among those paying tribute to Natalie Cole. In a tweet, he said, "May her soul rest in peace."
That's the latest world news from VOA. Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to the very first edition of Jazz America on VOA1 for the year 2016. We've been going strong since 1999, and it's my pleasure to celebrate three guitar players' birthdays, John McLaughlin, Mike Stern, and Lee Ritenour, on this edition of the show. This is Russ Davis, welcoming you to Jazz America and wishing you a very happy new year and a prosperous 2016. If you've been listening to Jazz America over the years, then you know I love to give each program a theme, if I can, and the theme is Guitars Galore, three great guitarists with birthdays in the month of January. So get ready to hear some great guitar playing from three of the modern guitar masters. But let's begin with the celebration of a birthday of one of the greats of the vibraphone, Vibes Master Milt Baggs Jackson. I don't think anybody can explain how Milt Jackson got the nickname Baggs, but that is exactly the name he had. Have you ever had a nickname yourself? Well, Milt Jackson, known as Baggs, was born on the 1st of January in 1923. He lived to his mid-70s, born in Detroit, he died in New York City, and left an incredible musical legacy as one of the great vibes masters and band leaders of all time. As a matter of fact, after working with Dizzy Gillespie's big band, he took a portion of that band and started his own Milt Jackson Quartet. Later on, they became known as the Modern Jazz Quartet. Let's hear some mid-50s classic work from him. Horace Silver on piano, Percy Heath on the bass, and Kenny Clark on drums, joining Milt Baggs Jackson on the vibes for the Horace Silver composition Opus Defunct to begin this edition of Jazz America. Thank you.
you know, lamp. Cause every time I dropped a dime, I blew it. He kept ringing bells, nothing to it. He got three oranges, three lemons, three cherries, three plums. I'm losing my taste for fruit, watching the dry cleaner do it. My client is in a polyester suit. It's all luck, it's just luck. You get a little lucky and you make a little money.
What a story is that of the album from 1979 by Joni Mitchell, the great vocalist, guitarist, composer, and musical visionary, the album titled Mingus. It was the last recorded work that Charles Mingus was ever involved in. He died in the middle of the recording of the album, was unable to play any instruments, but he did lend his spirit and his voice to some of the work on this album, while Joni Mitchell was joined by Herbie Hancock, Jaco Pastorius on bass, and Wayne Shorter on the soprano saxophone. That was The Dry Cleaner from Des Moines, the Mingus classic from the album Mingus, Joni Mitchell. Russ Davis here, and on this edition of Jazz America, it's a birthday party for three modern guitar greats, all celebrating birthdays in the beginning of the month of January. Lee Ritenour, the great guitarist from the West Coast, the Los Angeles music scene for decades, has just released recently his latest work titled A Twist of Rit, on which he takes some of the songs he made famous decades ago and creates new versions of them. We'll hear one of those songs after we talk to Lee Ritenour here on VOA's Jazz America.
We're backstage at the Blue Note talking to Lee Ritenour, and I'm going to ask him a few more questions about six-string theory, and then to hear you with Pat Martino and Joey. We're talking about Hollywood and Philadelphia get together, ladies and gentlemen, and the results are just killing. Oh my goodness, I love that piece for Les Paul.
Thank you. Well, I did want to write a piece for Les Paul. Had Les Paul lived longer, I'm sure I would have invited him on this project. I knew Les for many years. I met him when I was 18.
Wow.
And the weird thing about it is I was at in a Hollywood studio when Les was about 92, and I ran into him at Capitol Records, and we were talking, and And he actually remembered meeting me when I was 18. That's how he had he had a phenomenal memory, and they used to study it. He could remember details. He said, "Oh yeah, I was playing at a jazz club called Dante's in North Hollywood on a Monday night, and you walked in, and everyone said you were the hot young kid. How old were you then? About 18?" I said, "Yeah."
"You're scaring me, man."
Wow, he's something else. So, I really wrote this tune. The other thing that happened, I have to tell this story because it's so endearing and important to you. Sitting next to you here is a Gibson Les Paul, and it's a 59 reissue. It's essentially a new guitar, but it's based on his original designs. And I had it built for this project, and I don't normally play a Les Paul, but I knew I was going to play more blues and rock. And I usually play a Gibson 335 and a Gibson L5 and Yamaha acoustic guitars, but this Les Paul I really wanted for the project. So my friends down at Gibson built it. It took about 4 months. It showed up to my studio in Los Angeles from UPS delivery at knock on the door. It was the guitar. It was the day Les Paul died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the guitar was phenomenal. And one day I'm writing the song that we can talk about also in a minute called Lay It Down with John Scofield.
Yeah.
And I was writing that song, and I was on the Les Paul. And all of a sudden, I'm like diddling around, and I completely changed what I was doing. And all of a sudden, in about 10 minutes, LP just kind of came out of the guitar.
And channeling.
Yeah, channeling. So Les was up there helping the project.
Oh, and it's a beauty, too. It's red and gold and golden toggle switch and volume knobs. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a beautiful, beautiful Les Paul. Oh, goodness. Well, make it sing tonight, my friend, in his honor. I know you will.
Ah, thank you.
One great guitarist inspired by another. Lee Ritenour inspired by Les Paul. Well, we mentioned earlier that Milt Jackson's nickname was Bags. Lee Ritenour's nickname has been Captain Fingers. And from an album from back in the 70s with that name comes a song titled Countdown. Here is an updated version from Lee Ritenour's new album, A Twist of Rit, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Andrew Hill, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
There's a phrase we use sometimes when a person is trying to reach new ground in their endeavor, and that is pushing the envelope. Well, I think that certainly applies with the avant-garde free jazz stylings of NEA jazz master, the late Andrew Hill, from his album A Beautiful Day. Hope you enjoyed the piece entitled Divine Revelation. He died in 2007 and was named an NEA Jazz Master the day after his passing. And certainly the man from Chicago, a place where avant-garde jazz has certainly been a big part of the scene there forever. He certainly was one of the greats of free jazz, a wonderful pianist, and a very inventive composer and arranger as well, Andrew Hill. Well, we've got more of our celebration of the three guitar greats born in the month of January as John McLaughlin, the man from Yorkshire, England, joins us in just a bit. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America @voanews.com. And here's a message I've received recently with a very simple request for one of the classic songs of all time. The message reads as follows. Hi, good morning. I am Martin Kimbwa, listening from Nairobi, Kenya. I always look forward to the show every Saturday morning. I do request The Girl from Ipanema. That will make my day. Thank you. Well, thank you, Martin, and it would be my pleasure to play this classic song recorded in New York in March of 1963, and some of the most famous musicians of all time were on this most famous song. And I often think that some of the younger listeners who've maybe never heard this song before, or some of the classic songs we play, might be hearing it for the first time. Well, let me just inform you, you're about to hear musical magic. Antonio Carlos Jobim on the piano, he wrote this song. On guitar, João Gilberto. On the saxophone, Stan Getz. And on the vocals, Astrid Gilberto. The Girl from Ipanema on VOA's Jazz America.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem, que passa. Doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
And thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. the sea. She looked straight ahead, not at him. She smiles, but she doesn't see. She just doesn't see. No, she doesn't see.
Thank you.
carrying on the tradition of great trumpet players from the city of New Orleans, the birthplace of jazz. That is Nicholas Payton from his album Into the Blue with the Charleston Hop, here on VOA's Jazz America. Nicholas Payton, a very versatile player who does everything from hip-hop jazz with electronic beats to purely swinging acoustic jazz. He is one of those guys who likes to do lots of different things, and so does our special guest on this segment of VOA's Jazz America, one of the birthday boys born on the 4th of January, 74 years ago. John McLaughlin, the man from Yorkshire, England, he's done everything from acoustic, world-flavored jazz to very electric rock jazz with his band the Mahavishnu Orchestra. He's also dealt with the blues and swingin' jazz too, as you'll hear, as he collaborates with the legendary drummer Elvin Jones and organist Joey DeFrancesco on a cut from the album After the Rain. We'll hear that after we talk to John McLaughlin, and wish him a very happy 74th birthday here on VOA's Jazz America. And speaking of blues, you called out two blues tonight and played them. This man from Yorkshire do love the blues, do he not?
Well, strangely enough, I started music as a pianist. And when I was 11 years old, the guitar arrived. And simultaneously, I became exposed to the Mississippi blues, you know? Mm-hmm. Big Bluesy, Muddy Waters in particular, playing acoustic guitar in 1952, 53, mm-hmm. It's a long time ago.
You were a baby.
But not exactly. I was 11 years old. I was 12 years old. and growing up with classical music, because my mom was an amateur classical musician, it was a revelation for me. It was just a matter of time before jazz came, and but you know, I'm an old hippie, you know.
Who isn't? Growing up, who isn't in here?
I don't know. But you know, and when you grow up with the Beatles, and you know, and the whole rock thing, and then James Brown, and the what happened in the music came out of the '60s. Coltrane, Love Supreme,
here.
Those quintets with Miles. But Mingus, you know, Russ and Roland Kirk, Sonny Rollins, Bill Evans. I mean, my goodness. And then the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, you know.
You're calling out a menu. It's making me hungry. John McLaughlin, thank you for the time and for the concert and your artistry over the years. It's great to see you.
Great to speak with you. Thank you.
Well, you heard John McLaughlin mention John Coltrane in his list of influences. Well, let's enjoy the Duke Ellington composition, Take the Coltrane, from John McLaughlin's album After the Rain, with Elvin Jones on drums and Joey DeFrancesco on the organ, on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you.
This is Wallace Roney, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
trumpet master Wallace Roney from his album Jazz from 2007 with Bud Powell's Un Poco Loco. More of our celebration of jazz guitar birthdays next hour. Stay tuned.